Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. And I can tell you that only one of us is for the city here today. Only one of us, one of the three, cares about this city in a way that they will show their spirit for the University of Houston. Oh, it says for the city on my shirt. You two, did you wear red today for the Cougs? No. Gray and black. Congratulations. Congratulations, though.
I'm not one to pretend like...
That we're hearing?
You don't hear it anymore. I'm not one to pretend like I'm going to put on another college's shirt just because they're having a great year. I'm not a t-shirt fan.
No, that's not it. I'm for the city. You're not for the city?
Well, I've been pretty clear.
That's all you care about. Oh, Miami.
Yeah.
Who cares about Miami?
I don't know why this whole I'm a sports fan of teams out of town and I don't switch is a big deal. That's how it generally goes for people.
Hmm. No.
Well, you're unique in your ability.
Have 10 teams, John.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Listen, that's not the case. This is my city. Yeah. Apparently, you two are from some other place.
Where's your Rocket stuff?
Huh?
Where's your Rocket stuff?
I'm representing both.
I never
today.
See you wear Rocket stuff. I'm representing. Stuff.
Hey, listen. They almost.
Where's your Texans stuff?
They almost destroyed everything this weekend.
Are you representing the city with the Texans?
Today's not Texans Day. Today's Cougs
Day.
Let
me tell you, they did. Well, okay.
Today's Cougs Day.
Focus. Okay, so let's start March Madness. Today is Cougs Day. It was a good game for them the other day. It was a little bit ugly at times, but that's just how they play ball. I mean,
they held.
That was way better than the game before.
I don't know how you can have any criticism of the Cougs.
Well, no, I thought they played well. I'm just thinking moving forward, that's a tough way to win games moving forward. That's a tough way. I can tell you, after watching Syracuse, you really realize once Houston extended, which you knew they were going to extend on, like the under for that game was the easiest.
Yeah.
Houston's 73.5 total, easiest money ever, was under. Not even close. And when you look at how they extended and took Buddy Boeheim out of that game, boy, Syracuse had nothing.
Nothing.
Like, they weren't even nothing. Close to competing, I didn't think, with Houston Griffin, on a per-player basis.
They had nothing.
They looked completely confused. And Houston will have some trouble with good interior play, so they've got to crash the boards from a team standpoint. But, man, the way they defend, I mean, they're just so up and down as a shooting team. And there's going to be some shots they take that you're going to be like, what are you doing? But they defend so well, they can get away with that. Now, the problem, I think the real problem is going to be, you know, if they have to face off, when they face off against size, that's going to be a concern. Because the one thing college basketball still has is post play. And this has been pretty eye-opening how many teams, they don't always go down to the post and feed the post, but there's some bigs in the tournament. You know, USC's got a couple. UCLA's got a big, like, they're obviously Gonzaga has bigs, Baylor, like, teams have bigs who make a difference. You may not be used to watching pro basketball and certainly not watching Rockets basketball, but bigs are still a thing in college basketball.
Yep. Well, you know, it's all about, listen, they put the, I don't think you can say enough about what Giroux did against Buddy Boeheim. I've heard a bunch of people saying, what a combination of. It was mostly all Giroux.
Oh, Giroux.
Dude was fighting through picks. He prevented Boeheim from touching the ball. He was all over, dude. He did not give him an inch. Giroux was just so good defensively. And then when he rested, you saw Grimes on him some. You saw maybe Sasser every once in a while. But the way Giroux played, man, defensively, didn't have a great game. Listen, nobody really had a great game offensively, maybe Gorm, but it was, you want to talk about just 46 points. All of, I don't know how many, it was in the 70s, number of tournament games that Syracuse has played.
This is the lowest number they've ever
had. The lowest they've ever scored.
Lowest they've ever scored was, it broke a different, there was one, I think they had 51 at one point. This is the lowest.
Lowest. I mean, that was unbelievable. Yeah, but you're right. If Boeheim, I mean, he gives them such a lift because you got to come out on him and somebody might grab a rebound or something, but they didn't have much at all. But you got to give Kelvin Sampson. Now, tonight he's got to do the same.
Kelvin Sampson couldn't be happy the whole game.
Well,
they're beating Syracuse's ass. There's like 30 seconds and he's like yelling at somebody, get rid of the ball. Yeah.
Oh, when they threw the pass off his leg. And
that's
it was
the one I'm talking about where he's like, you thought the world was going to come to an end. I'm like, listen, they're not even going to cover the second half number, Kelvin. You're not going to lose all of your wagers. Everybody's wagers are safe.
He didn't have any wagers.
I know, but other people.
What they got to do tonight, same thing on Ethan Thompson. Somehow, some way, they got to slow this dude down because he has been tremendous in this postseason, and he is why. He's a big reason why Oregon State is there.
They're well
put Giroux on dude and let him go, and let's see if he can't shut down Ethan Thompson. How look at the Pac-12. Holy crap. I'm going to tell you what. Gonzaga's got its hands full with USC. He's going to have his hands full with USC. UCLA, I'm not sure that they're going to be able to do the same thing. That they're going to be able. They look great, though. What they're doing right now is tremendous. But and another play-in team that's made the Elite Eight, just the only the second one, VCU and them. And VCU actually made the Final Four. Actually made the. I don't know if they made the champ. Did they make the champ? Yeah, they made the championship game that year, right? That they were a play-in team. But what a run UCLA is on. I'm going to tell you what, though. The Pac-12, holy crap, talk about. And then the funniest thing is all the pundits before the tournament started, well, Livers is out, so I don't know that Michigan can get. Michigan looks great. Michigan looks fantastic. I don't know how you slow. The way that they're playing right now, holy crap, they look good. But Gonzaga rolling through everybody, I'm not sure that they rolled. They're 9.5-point favorites over USC. I like USC. I like the points anyway. I think that's going to be a tough, close game. When you're talking about the bigs inside for USC, Mobley,
Mobley. I think a nine is way too much in that one. Matter of fact, let me ask you this. Here's the numbers. Let me go over the numbers today, see what you think.
Because you're a numbers guy, that's why.
Because I'm a numbers guy. And ESPN did an article about reseeding I want to get to in a little bit. But U of H plays Oregon State. U of H is a 7.5-point favorite. Feels like too much.
It feels like a lot.
I think Oregon State is a tough team. That feels like too much. Over-under is 129. So I think they finally got the number right, the total right. Wouldn't be shocked if that one actually went over, to be honest with you. I think you're going to get a little bit more flow.
What's the number? The over-under over?
129.
That's close.
What it should have been with Syracuse. Yeah.
Or less.
Yeah. Arkansas versus Baylor. Baylor is an 8-point favorite against Arkansas, 148.5. I think that's a pretty good number. That's a tough one for me. Because Arkansas, it's tough to get a beat on Arkansas. They're obviously better than people think. It's not like they're a poorly seeded team. But,
no, but that was an easy cover for Oral.
Yeah, and Oral came back against Florida. Like I kind of felt like Arkansas should be an easy winner. They were 11.5-point favorites. USC Gonzaga, I'm with you. I mean, Gonzaga is a really, really, really talented.
I don't. They've been steamrolling everybody. Yeah. I don't think they steamroll USC.
They can score with any number of players, but it's with Timmy. It's going to be hard for them to get the same interior baskets against USC. I think 9 is a lot, but it could be. I could see one of those games where it stays around between 3 and 7 points, and then at the end it like extends to 11. I could see them covering like that, but. I think you almost have to take USC plus a 9 as a live dog. I really do. And then Michigan, UCLA. Michigan is 7.5 against UCLA. I was going to tell you, that feels like too much to me. UCLA has been a sporty team.
Yeah, but Michigan has taken care of business.
Good. Michigan's look good. But Michigan, I tell you what, the Pac-12, good. I'm not. I have a hard time fading the Pac-12 right now.
the Pac-12's taking care of business against whoever they're playing. And they're usually the lower, and they've been the worst seed with USC. They were the worst seed with UCLA, with Oregon State. Like, they're people, they are putting it on people. And a lot of those teams, you know, Oregon State's been red hot since their tournament.
Yep.
I think that these are some high numbers in this one. Now, here's the concept of reseeding. You can't. It messes up the bracket. You don't reseed. Pro football, I wouldn't mind seeing pro football reseeded after playoffs. You know what I mean? Baseball, that idea.
Well, they kind of do, because you wait for the lowest seed to play the highest seed. So they kind of do.
In a way, yeah, they do. What do you think about this? And this is reseeding based on their own personal – it's almost like a BCS where a panel would come together and reseed teams. Mm. Obviously, this would never happen. Just on the hypothetical, here's what ESPN has. And I've got numbers. I want to see what you think. They've got Gonzaga, Arkansas. So Arkansas is the eighth team. Gonzaga is the one team. I made that a 9.5. Based on what I'm seeing here with Gonzaga, 9 against USC, I'm guessing that they'd make it at least 10.5 Vegas.
Who's the 7th seed? UCLA.
UCLA is 7. Baylor is 2. Okay. I made Baylor a 6-point favorite against UCLA.
UCLA? I think they'd be more than that.
I do too, based on what I'm seeing here.
Yeah. Yes, based on what the
7.5, but I'm telling you, I made it 6 because I've got respect for UCLA. The 3 seed Michigan against the number 3 team versus the number 6 team, U of H Michigan. I made Michigan 4.5.
U of H is the 6th seed?
Number 6.
Yeah, number 6 in this deal?
Mm-hmm.
You made Michigan 4.5? Oh, I don't know. I'll take those 4.5.
With Houston?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Michigan is 7.5 against UCLA.
I know, but what would the Cougs be against them? The Cougs are 7, they're 8 right now. My bookie, the Cougs are 8-point favorites against Oregon State.
I mean, they're using, I think, the power ratings and everything.
They got Oregon State as the 5th seed?
Mm-hmm. Oregon State number 5 against USC.
Okay, how is it that the Cougs are an 8-point favorite on a neutral court, and they've got them ranked, they're 8-point favorites against Oregon State, and yet they've got them ranked below them?
Well, we'll see. We'll see how both these teams play.
Well, no.
And this is a reseed.
But the perception is that the Cougs are 8 points better.
I think
Vegas thinks they're 8 points better. How can they be a lower seed?
One reason is because Houston got a tip in. They would have been eliminated if not for that tip in. And I think that's hard for people to get away. And then they beat up against Syracuse. I think, you know, Oregon State is on a pretty serious run right here through Pac-12 competition that we're seeing as good. Through Pac-12 competition, and then they're beating higher-seeded teams as an underdog. They're beating them out.
Who do you trust more, Vegas or ESPN?
Well,
rankings.
I trust Vegas, but they're not playing the same teams. Like, I don't know whose power rating would be higher, for example.
Well, if they're 8-point favorites against each other, how could Oregon State be a higher seed?
I think Houston is. I mean, personally, I don't think U of H. I'm seeing 7.5 here, but I think that's too much. I mean. I like Oregon State plus a point.
Yeah, but you would still make Cougs a favorite, right?
Yeah, you have to make Houston a favorite. I'd probably make them 4.5.
8 is what? Yeah, I got 8. I'm buying bookie right now. I think it's too much.
I think it's like a 4.
You know how you say you're for the city, John?
Yeah.
And you say you're an ally? Yeah. Both those things could be farther from the truth. Because you didn't even mention that the Rice women won the women's NIT.
Of course they
did. You're not an ally or for the city.
No. I'm all about the city.
No.
Yeah. Well, Rice is blue, though. I'm about the red today.
Yeah,
women
should have had a split
NIT
shirt
for women.
Well, I did, and I saw it come across. Oh, Rice won.
You saw it come across?
Yesterday.
Did you sit in front of the TV and watch it?
I kept track of it.
Who won the men's NIT?
The men's NIT?
Yeah,
it was a good.
Who won it?
It's not over.
Is it over?
No,
yeah,
it's not. Who won?
Memphis.
Did they made like the final? No, they won. No, Penny said this is only
Penny
the start.
This is the building block for what's to come. I thought you would know it. I was trying to make a point. If you went, Memphis won,
no.
And then you wouldn't even know Rice.
So there's the point proven. I know this.
He just doesn't know NIT.
Who do you
blame him?
Who's playing tonight? What's the big game in the women's bracket in the NCAA tournament?
I don't know.
Oh, A&M. Connecticut and Baylor? Maybe you're not an ally.
No.
Oh, maybe that's pretty
important. I know I focused on the Rice women, and I know they won, and
really?
I brought it up.
You just saw it come across.
Yeah, and I noticed it and remembered yesterday.
7:14 ESPN.
Unlike
I know
yourself.
This. I know this. My electricity bill is small, is lower than everybody else's because of Champion Energy. That's right. If you're looking for the lowest energy bill in the city of Houston, this is a locally owned and operated company. I'm telling you, you are going to love everything about Champion Energy. The service, the bill is the most important thing every month. Mine, it's ridiculous how low they'll go. All you got to do is go to champion.energy/1560 and get started. It's so simple. It takes you 5 minutes. You're looking for the best way to go about this thing. champion.energy/1560.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. You got some thoughts on the Cougs? Come on, what about that game on Saturday night? How fun was that? 713-780-3776. Anything else that you want to talk about? We're crazy. Am I crazy thinking USC can play with Gonzaga? I'm telling you, the Pac-12, holy crap. Oregon had to play against USC, so one of them had to lose. Colorado's the only other team that's lost. Man, because we don't see the Pac-12, we see Big Ten, and Michigan's the only team that actually showed up in this tournament for them. But we're not... You can't sleep on this team. I mean, the bigs inside with the Mobleys, and their guard play right now has been tremendous, tremendous. I'm telling you, I think that Gonzaga is really, really going to have a tough time with this team.
I think they could. It's just that Gonzaga is not dependent upon one guy. I think the one thing that makes Gonzaga so good is that one guy can have a terrible game and it's irrelevant.
Right.
And we saw that yesterday with Kempster. He was just not. He didn't. Is that his name?
No.
Not.
No.
What's his name? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Other white guy without the mustache.
The other white, not Timmy. Yeah.
Because Timmy is everyone's favorite because he's got. Timmy, what are you going to do now with your facial hair? Now that you guys won, your mother said you're going to cut it. Are you going to keep your facial hair or have you talked to your teammates? I'm like, are we doing this? And then they go to the studio and everyone's got fake mustaches and fake facial hair. Like, are we gonna
keep doing this
all the time? I know you can't like it, Dale. You're a guy who doesn't like having fun either. So
how much fun do you have?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Me and you together on this one.
Yeah, I don't care about his facial hair. It's not cute. He's a grown man. It's not a cute thing that he has weird facial hair. Yeah.
Interviewing him, they can't wait to interview him about Kispert. What his facial hair is going to look like the next round. Yeah. Like, who cares?
Corey Kispert.
Timmy Suggs and
Kispert, and you're right. They don't have any of them could be off because the other ones are going to come through.
They're just so loaded, and the way to beat them is you're going to have big games from your best players. I mean, And you got to hope that they don't shoot the ball well because they can really shoot it. And the only way they're not going to shoot it is if you defend. So you're gonna have to slow them down a little bit. But I don't know. I think that's a great game. The Pac-12 is just. I mean, Gonzaga versus. I'm hyped up about this. I'm love it that Houston's this far. I think we thought Houston would get this far, but this is a chance. You're a big favorite against one of those Pac-12, a red hot Pac-12 team, frankly, one that's extremely well coached, and they know where their bread is buttered. Like that team plays really, you don't see them struggling to figure out who's going to get the shots. They seem to know who they are, and I think that's a really, really fun matchup, Oregon State versus Houston, because Houston has got some. They got the lockdown. Have you noticed that all the teams have a lot of respect for Houston? I don't know if you've noticed this. But every time somebody's down or whatever, one's trying to help them up, Syracuse had a tremendous amount of respect for them. Houston just plays hard, hard, hard. They all get on the floor. They all board. I mean, these guys really buy into Kelvin Sampson. And this is an example of Kelvin Sampson coaches hard.
Yeah.
The idea that everything has got to be, it's just kid gloves. And now you have to understand and get on their level. And like Kelvin Sampson's like, nah, I'll get the guys who are dogs. Y'all can have whoever. I'll get Giroux, and I'll get Sasser, and I'll get Gorham, and I'll get all these guys coming off the bench who are just dogs, and I'll bring them in from other programs. And that's how they are, man. They are
Houston has just a bunch of dogs. They can all leap. They all defend, and then they all just get after the loose ball.
And this is a great. This is a great audition for guys. Listen, they're losing guys. Mark is coming back, although he hasn't trusted. He only played 15 minutes the other night. Tremont Mark is going to be a star next year. He's going to be their centerpiece next year.
Yeah.
So that is going to be. I talked to somebody. Said that dude's here another year, and that's it. He's gone to the league after that. We'll see. He's got to take a big step. But, you know, on other teams, Tremont Mark would be a starter, and please stay. We want you. And Kelvin Sampson don't care. He's the only guard that comes off the bench. White's a big, Gresham's a big, and so
for those who don't know, Tremont Mark is the guy that got the tip in the end one,
and he got the half court shot against Memphis.
Oh, that was Mark.
That was Mark. Yeah. So. I mean, he's kind of a big deal, and yet 15 minutes. Get over here, sit over here, because we're going to keep Man Giroux. You can't take him off the floor, and you certainly can't take Grimes off the floor. You're just going to have to go small. But you can't argue with anything that Kelvin Sampson is doing right now. But this is a nice – listen, Kelvin Sampson, all the guys in the transfer portal right now, Kelvin Sampson's doing a hell of a job interviewing all those kids right now, because they see the way that they play. You're going to play hard. And those kids will attest to the fact – Kelvin Sampson will coach you hard. And you know what? These kids need it. We got to find this. Did you see the Bradley Beal sound talking to his AAU team, Dell? We got to play this for all you kids out there that think you're on your way to school right now. You think you're going to be a pro? I'm going
to
tell you what.
He's talking to you, Sebastian, so listen.
Well, Sebastian is going to be a pro. He's not talking to Sebastian.
Sebastian has been way out of control lately. He doesn't want to listen.
No, but
Sebastian. So, Sebastian, Mr. Granato.
He's okay. Going to be he's for sure in the G League, right?
I don't know.
No.
Well, I saw the kids that Bradley Beal was talking to. You know who doesn't look like them?
Yeah, but that's okay. Oh, really? Do they look like kids from Gonzaga?
I'm not talking about look. I'm talking about structure of not skin tone. Oh. I'm talking about structure of body.
Snacks a lot not as big, but
Sebastian, you think you're going to play? And I saw a commercial on NCAA. Only 2% of athletes from college sports even play professionally. I saw that. They showed Kyle. Remember, they were showing guys Hornsby. You remember him, the shooter from where was he from? Indiana. They show him. He's a cardiologist now. They were showing these former athletes what their jobs are and what their stuff was. And I want to say, Sebastian, you see? Are you looking at this? This guy could give you buckets, and he's a cardiologist. So stop thinking you're playing in the G League.
Yeah. Well, no. The G League, that's the lowest that Sebastian would play in.
Right.
I'm talking about getting into the league.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But there's no question. Sebastian's probably already in the G League. You got it, though?
It has to be cleaned up.
No, you haven't cleaned it up yet?
It's got to be cleaned up.
There's clean versions out there. I heard it this morning. I was like, holy crap. And Bradley ain't afraid to throw words at these kids now. All right, he ain't afraid to drop a few F bombs on him, and we'll get it cleaned up, and you got to play it. But to think all these kids that are playing right now think. I mean, okay, let me ask you a question: is Quentin Grimes in the league?
I think he's got a chance.
I think he's got a chance too, but he's probably a European player first.
Grimes, you know, he's a big, thick
guy.
Like, he is well put together. He's got to really be. I think the one thing is he's got to prove he can score off the dribble.
Is Buddy Beheim?
No, can't get his own shot.
Well, but he's a guy who can stand there. There's plenty of guys that couldn't get their own shot, but they stand there and hit.
He might. But you have to defend too. I don't know the Buddy Beheim.
He's long though.
I'm telling you, the guy that I was impressed with was Creighton's point guard. That guy. Did you see what he? He was shooting 62.5% from the three-point line over the last six games. And his first two, splash, splash. His next one went in and out. And that kid can make some space for himself, too. Like, he was a player. He's a good player. I don't think anyone on Houston, frankly, is. I'm not sure that's a pro team.
No.
They don't strike me as having anyone that's going to be.
No, Giroux doesn't shoot well.
Grimes
if Giroux shot
the
better.
Best case scenario.
If Giroux shot better.
Giroux's 116 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you're right. He is. He's too skinny.
They're like a team full of Patrick Beverley.
Yeah.
Is what the Cougars are.
You know, Gorham is so in between.
He's a leaper, but yeah, I just don't. Houston's more of a college team. than pro players, yeah, which is fine. I don't care.
And so you
got a better chance to hang on to guys longer.
You know what? There's all those guys, though. Grimes and Gorham and Giroux could play international ball. They probably will be paid to play. I'm not sure that it's here in the U.S. Who else have we seen? It'll be interesting to see Ethan Thompson, whether or not he is. You got it? You got Listen, for all of you out there that think you're going to be a pro, here's Bradley Beal. No. You know what? There's kids on their way to school right now thinking, oh, I'm going to the league.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that, Sebastian.
Yeah.
Maybe you need Mason. To step in. Bradley Beal doesn't need to talk to Sebastian. His dad
he can't
does.
Listen to me. I need Bradley Beal, an NBA All-Star max player, to tell them something.
Well, you just
don't listen to Bradley
it's
Beal.
What his
They're definitely not listening to me, Dell.
Why not? Their dad tells
Snacks
everybody
is getting zeros because he thinks he's going to the league. Obviously,
no. Their dad tells everybody in the NFL or in college football whether or not they're going to the league.
Yeah,
that's what your that's what Snacks dad
be,
does.
Your job is to crush dreams.
More on my
your
name.
Job. Your job is to crush dreams.
And you
crush his dreams.
Day. Don't listen to me.
No. Okay. So here is Bradley Beal telling you, Snacks.
Respecting the game means a lot, bro. On and off the court. How you carry yourself, all that matter, man. Y'all gotta understand, when you go to college, you don't get away with this, man. You get to the league, you don't get away from it. They take your bread, bro. You walk around this motherfucker, moping and pounding around, bro, it's either one or two things gonna happen where you at. They gonna ship your off, or they gonna waive your you ain't gonna have no job. They just gonna say, here, just take the money, we don't even want you. That's the two options you got in the league. And I don't never like pulling my NBA card, ever. But, bro, y'all, it's only 400. That means if you got dreams of getting to the league, you got to play me. You got to guard me. And guess what? Can't none of y'all motherfucking guard me. Ain't none of y'all taking my job. I'm chilling. I can retire today and live on the beach for the rest of my life. And my mom and dad not work another day. Or my brothers. That's the type of good y'all want to be. That's what y'all want. Everything is grimy and gutter where we from, bro. So everything is going to be that much harder for us. But guess what? When you got a gift and a talent like that, you got to take advantage of it. You got to perfect it. You got to work on it. Because guess what? God will take that. If you ain't using it the right way, if you ain't using your bounce, you ain't using your shot, you ain't perfecting it, them gifts are gone. I believe in y'all, man.
Let's go.
I believe in y'all.
Let's get it, baby. Hey, each other. All I ask y'all to do is finish strong, man.
That's
finish
it, up. Man.
Finish.
That's all we can.
Finish on three. One, two, three. Finish.
You hear that?
Nowhere did he say, get good grades. So Sebastian's like, Bradley Beal's just confirming what I always believed in myself. Just got to shoot.
You got perfect.
Just got to play better.
Snacks, that's all you got to do. Go out there while everybody else is in class. Get on the court, out in the gym, and just shoot basketball.
Get those shots up. Keep working on them skills.
Don't worry about no school fancy book learning.
Yeah.
Worry about that.
Bradley Beal spoke for almost 2 minutes and didn't say anything about getting in the books. Mm-mm. All right?
Snacks, go for it. Just get in that gym.
All you kids out there who want to go to the league, stay eligible, obviously. But other than that, get those jumpers up.
That's all. Yeah. Don't worry about that. I ain't worried about it. No. Algebra? How's that going to help me?
Well, geometry, if the arc of your shot, see if it goes in. That's only geometry
you
got to worry about.
Just keep putting it up higher and higher. And then, you know what? I'll find my own geometry. I don't need no pencil.
Look, I don't need geometry when I'm counting M's, okay?
That's
one M.
That's it.
Two
all
M's.
I need is addition.
Yeah. Adding to
and
that account.
When I get my baby mama, subtraction.
See, why did you have to? Now, things are just fun, and now you're talking about subtracting.
Well, you got to, hey. You gotta be real.
You don't have to.
You gotta
have
be real with these kids.
Kids, you do not. Kids, you don't.
Me and me and Bradley are real with the kids.
Bradley Beal didn't mention anything about overhead and a baby and the mother. You don't have to add that to the equation.
We real. You ain't being real.
We real.
So you and Bradley Beal the same apparently.
731 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5. So, over the weekend, I want to talk about Deshaun. I really don't. Let's have a Deshaun-free zone.
Well, you got to get the updated number.
Well, there's a number 20. Number 970 if it's comfortable.
I swear, I thought we were done at 16. I didn't even know where 17, 18, 19 came from.
I didn't either.
I just saw 20.
It's 20 now. 20 a file, but whatever. Okay, is that enough? Is that enough or not? Do we have to do more on that?
Well, when the details come out, we obviously have to talk about what's in them.
Can we not talk about the touching and the fingers up the stuff?
I don't know if it's going to be fingers. We don't know.
Do we have to say the word oral today?
You just said it. No one else did but you.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to. The kids are on their way to school. They don't need to hear about this.
By the way,
They need Bradley Beal dropping F-bombs on them.
I know for a fact there are still teams doing their work on Deshaun. They are talking to their owners right now, and they are trying to find out as many facts as they possibly can on this case and on what's going to happen.
He's still very valuable. Out of prison.
Okay, do you think Deshaun, here's the thing. Teams will take, if there's nothing criminal that happens, and if there's a finite amount of suspended games and they know exactly how much it's going to be, a team is going to come after Deshaun Watson. They're going to come after him. Do you think the Texans now with I'll start with Easterby, and then of course Jack is the spiritual advisor, I guess, or that's what I've heard behind the scenes for Cal and Hannah McNair. So, and we know the McNairs have always been about, you know, character and all that, which is fine. That's fine. But knowing what you know about this right now, do you think there's any chance? We know what Nick Caserio was saying publicly, we're not trading him. I don't know if that was true or if that was just part of the game to push up the draft stock. I don't know. But knowing what you know right now, do you think that the Texans would be more willing now to move Deshaun Watson?
Yes.
I do too.
Yes. No, I
think Nick Caserio's like, well, y'all can want me to move him. I'm still getting as much as I can.
No. Listen, I thought there's no chance they move him, and I think now the likelihood is that he's played his last game for the Houston Texans. There's so many locker room. There's so many McNair. You know, there's this. He just no longer is Texans worthy. Which means
I don't also know what they're being told behind the scenes.
I don't know what the hell that means, but it has meant forever. It means you got to have character. And Deshaun, you can't have face of the franchise.
This is really tough on face of the franchise because you're the one that's going to be out in front of everything. There's going to be hard things said about you on the road. Mm-hmm. There's going to be hard questions asked of you.
But did you see that apparently the last one or the one before? Apparently, Deshaun, it's from this month.
Yeah, I know.
I could see last month, but this month, Deshaun?
Yeah, they had March.
I mean, what? I mean, goodness gracious. So, what? So, anyway, is there any chance that Deshaun did this so he could get out of here? He did all this?
No. I'm sure there's somebody who, you know, said that with a conspiracy theory. But I do think that it's a lot to ask. And Deshaun, I think, here's what I'm really concerned about as a player. At least with the Texans. If you ever notice George Springer now, you got no worries. Marwin, Charlie Morton, George Springer, once you leave the Astros, you have no worries.
No.
I don't know that that's necessarily the case with Deshaun Watson, but he does get a fresh start in a new city if he gets traded.
Oh, no, this is always on his resume.
But it's always on the resume, and that's what concerns me is Deshaun got so upset by something. Pat Starr had a video that said, and all of it is glowing about Deshaun Watson. He has one where he says, well, he misses a read here. Deshaun goes and finds it, retweets it, and says, keep that same energy. And I'm like, man, that's kind of sensitive for that. This is 2 or 3 years ago for a quarterback to go find that. Well, and then like,
That upset about
it. Did you hear Dick Vitale on this morning before us?
Uh-uh.
Oh my gosh, he was talking about, you know, J.A. Williams, and J.A. Williams came up to him and hugged him because thanks for all the nice things you said about me when I was in the tournament, and he always thanks Dick Vitale. And Dick said, yeah, it ain't like that with all the guys, man. The first thing that they say, you say anything. And Dick is like, dude, wait, whoa. All the great things I said about you, the only thing you remember is the it's the same with you.
Same with my draft stuff.
It's the same with your draft
stuff. I called DK Metcalf, I had him as the sixth best prospect in the draft 2 years ago, and said he has got the potential to be a future All-Pro.
And he's got
weaknesses on, like, there's nothing else.
In his locker,
yeah.
He's got that so that he can go after you every single day.
Yeah.
And prove you wrong about, no, you know, I mean, being the sixth overall pick in the draft.
And they drafted him last pick of the second round or whatever.
Right.
Like, it's, yeah, no, but it is true. Like, all they hear is the negative stuff, and Dick Vitale's been the number one cheerleader for players forever. Like, he's
well,
not
Duke
hard.
Players, yeah.
Well, especially Duke players. Yeah, right.
Right, right, right.
But no. I just think Deshaun is so sensitive and protective of his image.
What image?
Well, what he has
That's
had,
over.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, okay, so if he doesn't have a great image now, then how does he move forward as a player and a person? How will that impact him moving forward? I would be a little concerned about it. I'd be a little concerned if he goes and plays somewhere. Like, God forbid he got traded to New York, which he won't get traded. But let's say he got traded to New York and he didn't perform well there, and you've got those newspapers who are trying to beat each other to stories and sell papers where they actually still sell papers, I guess. It could be brutal for him
in
a place like that.
Not only that, anytime he's out, TMZ or, hey, Deshaun, you're trying to get sex, Deshaun. I mean, he is going to, Deshaun is in a different world than he's ever, I mean, Deshaun has always been squeaky clean, wonderful guy, community. He gives his paycheck to the ladies in the cafeteria. He has been.
But you can be both, though.
Well, he
you can be a guy who's a potential sex addict who does all that stuff too.
Obviously.
Like, there is a chance that there's both going on.
Obviously. Yeah. And that's been the case with him. 740 ESPN, 97.5. We haven't even touched on Dell. How about Laramie Tunsil, the statue now they got built of Laramie
that
Tunsil?
That may be disgusting.
Outside
Laramie's
of the-
all excited about it. I couldn't be more disgusted.
Well, yeah, he realized he's the most valuable player to ever been traded before. Him
well,
and
he's
Herschel
the most
Walker.
Valuable Dolphin ever.
Well, when we
there's a statue of him outside of Miami Stadium now.
Well, it's Dan Marino, but maybe they'll put his face, maybe they'll build him right next to him.
So look, when we come back, we
he's
will tell you about
Marino.
Miami has made a trade. They made a trade on Friday with San Francisco. We'll tell you about that trade and now where the tote board stands for the Laramie Tunsil deal. What Bill O'Brien, if Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby don't get statues there, if they win a title, if they don't get rings or statues, I said that on NFL Network on Friday too. I'm like, listen, if Bill O'Brien doesn't get a ring or a statue at some point, and Michael Robinson thought that was the funniest thing, I said, I'm just being honest. I mean, he's bankrolled. Bill O'Brien literally help bankroll.
This is the Herschel Walker cowboy trade.
Man, I hope he is just so
that led to three out of four titles
again.
That led to three out of four titles. God. That Herschel Walker trade, and with the Cowboys. That's what it led to. Dell, you got three out of four.
It seems unlikely, but I appreciate the Texans and their effort.
The Bill O'Brien couldn't have tried harder for you.
I hope he's as bad being the Texans GM as he is the Alabama OC, because Miami plays him game one. But he has been, I told you before, if he didn't have a job, I know they should bring him up in the second round and let him make a pick.
Oh, that would be so funny. 743 ESPN, 97.5.
For the city.
Time for me to talk about Doc Linville. If you're on Twitch right now, you can see this hair.
Did you get trimmed up in the back? A little bit of your ducktail? That's good.
My ducktail? Yeah, I had
it. It's a little out of control.
It was out of control. I let it go.
You look like Garrett Cole.
You know, that's what I do. I mean, that's how I roll, me and Garrett. But here's the deal is, I mean, you can feel great about your hair. I feel great about my hair. You can feel great about yours. I mean, you could be bald like Jackie if you want. Go ahead. Or you can have long, flowing locks like me and Garrett Cole do. It's all because of Doc Linville. One reason that I feel great about my hair and my head of hair. And everybody, I went to a party Saturday night, and it was like unbelievable. Oh, my God, your hair. I was like, yeah, of course it does. Yeah, you haven't seen me in a while, but this is what happens when you hang out with Doc Linville. When you go to 975hair.com, 975hair.com. You get your consultation. Doc is going to tell you how this is going to get done. You're going to love the process. You're going to love all the people. Can't be nicer there. Everything about this process was the best. So if you're looking for a great way to get hair, if you're sick of being bald, having that bald spot, or being bald, totally bald like Jackie, everybody's sick of that. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Let's go. Fun. Sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So tonight, the Cougs going at it. Reading a story here about, I didn't mind this. You know, Dan Wetzel said this was pretty good, that every Sweet 16 game, there was no overlapping. You could watch every single game without one being on top of each other because of the way that they did it.
Because of where they are.
Because normally the Sweet 16 is Thursday, Friday, and then the Elite Eight is Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Now Sweet 16 is on Saturday, Sunday.
What did it have to do with the overlap?
Well, because you had all day Saturday and all day Sunday to play the Sweet 16.
Oh.
And now you got the Elite Eight on Monday and Tuesday.
Late-ass games now.
Yeah, well, it's 6:15 and 8 something. That's all.
Well, 8, like the one the other day ended at 11:30. Like they had, or 11:15.
Well, that's the late.
They're starting at 8:55. I mean, that's pretty late.
8:45, 8:55.
That's until
11 o'clock.
Last night was, they didn't start until after the game last night ended. That was close to 9 o'clock. Yeah,
right.
So, yeah, that's pretty late, 11 o'clock. Yeah, but
no games overlapped. If you want to stay up, you stay up. If you don't, you don't.
Yeah.
That's all. But,
well, I'm saying for basketball, I've never seen it like that.
No. We've never seen.
Except the first round.
We've never seen the Sweet 16 played on Saturday and Sunday. We always saw it played on Thursday and Friday.
And they held up TV until games were done, too,
didn't
they? That's
right. Yeah.
On the overtime game with UCLA. But, you know, I was thinking about this because I recognized some of the footage of the, you know, when we go do the combine, there's a big convention, a huge convention center. That's across from Lucas Oil Field. It's connected underground, and then you can just walk outside. But so the media, we're dirty peasants. We have to walk outside.
Yeah.
But the teams get to go underneath where it's nice, and you know, they don't have to go into the ice and snow and whatever else is there. Well, anyway, in that big, big convention area, they might have, in one room, 8 podiums where different players are going to speak, or coaches or GMs. And then in a completely other one, this giant room, there's big workout facilities for kids to go run and do this and that. And then there's another facility with – so it's huge and it's perfect. It's perfect. So anyway, I was thinking about this. You know, in a way, this is kind of cool that you've got all these facilities. They were using Butler. Like everything could be housed in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
But it takes money away from other cities and a chance to make money. And then plus – when you have all the fans start coming in, that would be impossible. They don't have enough rooms for all the fans.
Like if it's in, like Wetzel says, you know, the
Elite
Sweet
Eight.
16 is usually going to be the Final Four the next year, where you, one of the Sweet 16 games. So it's a dry run for we'd had it here.
Oh, that's right.
We had Sweet 16 here, and then we had Final Four, and so it's a dry run for the next year when it's a Final Four. But every city can handle that. With two arenas, if you're going to be a place where you're going to play a Final Four, you got two arenas. So it's not like you can't do that anyway. He says, you know, and makes a pretty good point, do it like this every year. Not a bubble so much because you don't need a bubble, but play all the Sweet 16 games in the same city.
I think it'd be awesome. Now, once again, if all the fan bases come, that's a lot of – that's a tremendous amount of hotel rooms you have to have available for 16 teams of fans. I mean, for one thing, it's right. The teams you're going to have at least, and with family and stuff, you're going to have at least room for 30 to 40. But the fans is where it's tough because you open up the fan stuff. But it seems like if you had it in different areas of, like Houston could pull it off.
Well, Atlanta could pull it off.
No. Who? You could play at Toyota Center, but you have Rockets too. So they're not playing any games at Lucas
Oil. NRG.
Huh?
You'd play at NRG.
Okay, NRG, but then where else?
In Toyota Center?
No, but they have four different places they're playing, right?
No, they got three. They've got three places. Hinkle, Butler, and well, actually those were the only two, I think, in the Sweet 16.
You sure?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
That's all it took.
And then you got the dome too.
Even if you went 4-2, but yeah, you have to have the seating capacity to do it. Like, oh, that one that's real kick ass at what's it called? The kick ass stadium that's here that they play a lot of high school basketball games in. It's not that far from here.
No, not in Katy.
Well, they got one, that's really good. Like, we've got some, the Barry Center, I guess.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, we've got some nice ones around here, and that's why they have the tournament, the Southland tournament comes out here. I think every year it's out here. So, anyway,
to Cougs tonight. Now, let's get back to San Francisco and Miami. Three first-rounders. Three first-rounders for this number three overall pick.
Flip-flop and two first.
Right, a flip-flop and then two.
12-3, yeah.
Okay, so Trevor Lawrence is number one.
Yep.
It's going to be Zach Wilson, number two.
Yep.
Are you telling me that San Francisco thinks that the third quarterback in this draft is worth three first-rounders?
Well, you can only say two because they're flip-flopping.
Well, the one plus two more.
Yeah, you get two more.
Yours plus two more.
Yeah. I don't count that one.
Use a pick on the guy, so it's three first-rounders.
Yeah, and then you get a first-rounder. So three minus one is two. So you get two additional first-rounders, and you pick up the space.
That's right.
They obviously do.
Well, San Francisco's using three first-rounders on them.
That was surprising to me because, yeah, that's true. That was surprising to me because if it's, okay, so let's take a look at the three quarterbacks in contention. Justin Fields. Okay, he's not a perfect fit for what his offense is really not a lot like Kyle Shanahan's. But he does have high leverage football under his belt. He's played in some big games. He's been the guy that leads the offense. And he's a guy that could come in and play fairly quickly, I think, but that's really hard to say with rookies. Trey Lance, that would be my selection. That's who I think they will take, is Trey Lance. Trey Lance fits the offense perfectly. Quincy Avery set up throws that involved the San Francisco offense in Trey Lance's pro day, which I thought was very smart. So that they could see what he looks like in their offense. He's big. He's mobile. He can do boot action stuff. He is a full field reader. He's what Mike Shanahan or what Kyle Shanahan typically looks for. And then the other guy, the Daniel Jeremiah, on the day of the trade, because I was watching the pro day, he said, listen, don't just discount Mac Jones. He said, Mac Jones is a guy who is football ready. He's very smart. He's got great eyes. He's accurate, yada, yada. And he said, this is what Kyle Shanahan really likes, is a guy who you don't have to be the greatest athlete. You just need to be able to throw accurately in space and maneuver around in the game. Well, that sounds great, but are you trading that much for a game manager? Because Mac Jones is a game manager. Now, he's not a playmaker, but that offense requires a game manager. So I understand that. Well, but
got the ultimate one in Jimmy Garoppolo.
You're basically saying, we think our team is a Super Bowl team, and we feel like this is our only chance with the window being open to get ourselves a quarterback that we feel like will extend this.
Mac Jones for three.
Well, I'm saying if it's Mac Jones, then that's a guy who could potentially come in and play quickly. Although they say they're keeping Jimmy Garoppolo, we'll see. You have to keep Jimmy Garoppolo if it's Trey Lance. If it's the other two, maybe, maybe not. But I mean, you've got some weapons over there for Mac Jones. If it were Mac Jones, you got an offensive line with Mike McGlinchey and Trent Williams at offensive tackle. You've got some wide receivers over there, but that's a lot for any of those three quarterbacks. To move up and give up that much means that you think you got a chance to win a Super Bowl within the next 3 years, and you don't think it's with Jimmy Garoppolo. My guess, honestly, is that team and Carolina would have been the two teams doing anything and everything they could to get their hands on Deshaun Watson. I think if this stuff hadn't come out, the Texans would have got a monster pass. They just gave up.
For Mac Jones.
Or whatever. Trey Lance or Justin Fields. Right. They just gave that up for them. What would they have given up for Deshaun? It starts there. It starts at three first rounders. And then what? 3 seconds and a player? Wow. Or two players? Can you imagine what you would have got for you would have had to have taken that if you were if you're Nick Caserio. You would have had to have taken that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, oh, that just starts it. I mean, you know what? Right now, I would take those three for Deshaun Watson.
Right now, yeah.
Right now.
But
No. Even maybe, I mean, three first rounders, number 12 overall pick, plus two more first rounders. Now, San Francisco is going to be pretty good, so it'll be in the 20s. Yeah, with Deshaun, they're a Super Bowl contender. So maybe that wouldn't be enough. You'd have to get more out of them. But, man, oh, man, right now, I'll take that for Deshaun right now. Right now. And that, guess what ain't happening?
I was talking to someone about the trade and the prospect of San Francisco being a Super Bowl contender with the good young quarterback. What do you think Kyle Shanahan's record is in San Francisco? Like, if you just took a guess.
He went to the Super Bowl. So it's close to 500, actually, I bet.
He's had three double-digit loss seasons out of four.
Yeah, two of them were severe in three Super
Bowl.
Seasons.
One Super Bowl.
But he didn't have his quarterback.
I would imagine people believe that it's been really, really good there. He had the one run, and Jimmy Garoppolo is never healthy there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the problem. That's why you got to go another direction. That's why you got to give up three first rounders.
So if they draft a young quarterback and they're alleged, let's say they love Trey Lance, but they know he's not ready, and Jimmy Garoppolo puts in a Jimmy Garoppolo year, but they don't win a Super Bowl. What do you, we know our guy Raheel did this study about if you don't do it in a certain amount of time, then it never happens for a coach.
Andy Reid doesn't change that.
Andy Reid's the only one.
Yeah.
That's the outlier. Is Kyle Shanahan at this point more likely to get fired or to be a Super Bowl contender?
I don't know that Kyle's getting fired, not after taking him to a Super Bowl.
Well,
I mean, because if I'm management, I go, well, he hasn't had his quarterback.
That's
more on Garoppolo. That's more on us having an injury prone guy.
Well, you're giving up three first round picks for potentially a guy who won't be ready to play in the first year.
Potentially right. And what if Garoppolo has a huge year?
Well, then
it's good. He's trade value.
Yeah.
He's trade value. He's not a free agent, is he, next year?
I don't know.
That would not be good. So here's what the Laremy Tunsil deal netted.
Well, let's do it on the other side.
Yeah, when we come back, you will, for those of you who are all on board with it, now you got a left tackle, everything's fine for Deshaun, party train, wait until you hear and these are the same picks the Texans had. Wait until you see what those those picks from Bill O'Brien to the Miami Dolphins netted the Dolphins.
And Garoppolo, as far as money going forward, under contract till through 2022, but dead cap even this year is only 2.8.
Yeah.
Next year's 1.4.
Yeah. So he's got 2 years left on this deal. And apparently the Patriots want him. Maybe. We don't know. It's 7:57 ESPN, 97.5. We'll do it on the other side. Don't you go anywhere. Time for me to talk right now about my peeps or nobody. It's time for me to talk about nobody right now. So why don't you just take a break, though?
ESPN 97.5.